Good morning, Travelers Rest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see everybody here this morning. It's a little cool in here this morning, so we're going to get the blood going a little bit. If you'll stand and help us sing, that'll help everybody.
Casting my cares aside, leaving my past behind, setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good.
It's good.
Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Fears aside, leaving my doubts behind, giving my hopes and dreams to you, Jesus. Reaching my hand to yours, even there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good.
It's good.
I live for you.
All my days I live for you.
And I will stand upon your truth.
I will stand upon your truth.
All my days I live for you.
I invite you to turn and greet those who are worshiping around you this morning.
Hey.
Hey, old Tony up in the corner.
Hey, he's not watching.
So good morning.
Good morning.
It's kind of weak. Let's try again. Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning. Welcome to South Carolina weather, right? It's like 80 degrees yesterday. People were in shorts and everybody's got sweaters and coats on today. But it's good to be here. We are glad you're here with us. I am Brian Gilmer, your pastor here. Whether you're worshiping in the sanctuary today or you're watching on Facebook Live or going to watch later on, we are again, glad that you've chosen to worship with us this morning. A couple of announcements. There are a lot of things going on in the life of the church. The bulletin has some announcements in there. The other way to get information about what's happening in the church is to sign up for the weekly kind of e-blast email that has all kinds of information and links on it. Also, check social media if you have social media or the website. That will keep you connected. Not going to read everything in the bulletin to you, but Trumpets and UMYF, you guys have activities this evening. Pickleball and Jesus is this Thursday, 10 a.m. to noon in the gym. So if you're interested in pickleball, you don't have to even know how to play because they will show you how to play. All right? So don't be intimidated if you don't know how to play. Come try it out and they'll teach you how to play pickleball. Eclipse glasses. If you have eclipse glasses that you used a couple of weeks ago, we're collecting those out in the lobby in a basket, and we're going to send those to some countries that haven't seen the eclipse yet that are going to have that later in this year. And so that would be a good way we can help people safely see the eclipse like we did. Also, it's hard to believe we're talking about this, but Vacation Bible School. June 24th through 27th, there's already some asks, some needs that we have to make sure Bible school is a success. In the coming weeks, there are probably going to be more, and I'll go ahead and warn you, one of the asks is going to be for volunteers. And so go ahead and start praying about it, right? We need volunteers to make Vacation Bible School successful for our kids and our youth. So if you can help with that, there'll be some places in the coming weeks that you can sign up to do that. Again, we have come here today to worship God. And so let me invite you to stand, and we're going to begin our service today with a call to worship that's in the bulletin and on the screens, and then we'll go right into another song. We gather as God's beloved children.
Glad we are, however out of sorts we are.
We come together as people whom Jesus calls into community.
So this becomes a place all are welcome.
We have come to give thanks, to pray and to sing, to be with each other.
Let us worship God.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love.
may be seated. So as we come to our time of prayer this morning, I want to invite you to pray with me, specifically over the next 2 weeks. The United Methodist Church is a global denomination, meaning we're worldwide, right? And so there is a pretty big event happening starting Tuesday of this week going through May the 3rd, and that is the 2024 General Conference of the United Methodist Church. So what that means, if you're not familiar with how Methodism works, is that Methodist delegates from all over the world are going to converge on, believe it or not, Charlotte, North Carolina. And so all the delegates are coming in this week. They're actually coming in today. General Conference, just to kind of tell you what it is the highest legislative body of the church. It sets policies for the work of the church, speaks for the entire denomination, and adopts worldwide denominational budgets for ministry and programs. It's the only group that has the power to revise the Book of Discipline, which is our book of rules and guidelines, or the Book of Resolutions. It also approves any theological statements we have. And so it's a pretty big meeting that was supposed to happen in 2020. Anybody remember what happened in 2020? Yeah, the world shut down, right? And so this meeting, it usually meets every 4 years. It didn't meet in 2020. So it's meeting this week and next week. And so I want to invite you to be in prayer for all that goes on at General Conference. Be in prayer for our South Carolina delegation. Later today or tomorrow, we'll send out some links so that you know who to pray for, but also that you can follow the official General Conference updates and sites, because hard to believe, but everything you read on social media and the internet is not true, right? So I want to make sure you get the official thing. So just be in prayer for that that conference, this meeting. And I'll pray a special prayer in our prayer this morning for General Conference. But I invite you to bow your heads with me, and let's just spend a few moments in silent prayer, lifting our own concerns and cares to God, and then I'll lead us in our morning prayer. Oh God, you've gathered us here to worship you. Lord, we come from different places and different backgrounds. Yet on this day, and any day that we come into your presence, we are one body. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. We are your disciples. And Lord, so we thank you for this opportunity to gather together today to worship. Lord, as we think back over the last week, we thank you for those times in which we were able to smile and laugh, those times that we were able to enjoy friendships and fellowship times together, those times that we were able to appreciate the beauty of your creation, those times that we felt peace in our heart. And for all those times, oh God, we are thankful, and we know that we are a blessed people. But God, we know that for some of us, it's been a long week. Some of us have faced trials that seem maybe overwhelming, or we've received news that might be devastating, or there are burdens that we're worried about and anxious about. And Lord, there are just simply things that are weighing us down. God, we trust and we know that you are here with us. You're closer than even our very breath. We trust that your presence is life-giving. So today, God, we come and we lift up those who are struggling. We ask, oh God, that you would give hope to the hopeless, that you would allow each of us to feel your presence. Lord, we pray for those who are sick and those who are recovering from illness, those whose futures might seem unclear, those who are tired, those who are weary. We ask you, O God, the great physician, the great healer, to give healing and comfort and peace. Lord, that you would allow each of us to feel your presence with us each day. Gracious God, we lift up our church. We want Travelers Rest United Methodist Church to be a strong and a vital church in our community. Lord, we want to be used by you to make a difference in the lives of those around us. So help us, O God. Help us, O God, to be a light of grace and peace through our programs and through our ministries, but more importantly, O God, through our lives as we strive each day to become a little bit more like your Son, Jesus. O God, today as we come together as a church family, we especially pray for the work of General Conference that begins this week. We entrust to your care those who are serving as delegates, that you might strengthen them with physical and mental stamina to conduct the business with courage and love and centeredness on you. We pray for a renewed commitment to the central command of your Son Jesus, which is to make disciples of all nations. God, we ask for guidance for the delegates towards an unrelenting focus on making disciples. Remind us that true transformation begins with you. We pray that General Conference will interpret the church witness to the controversial topics of the day. We are aware of how polarizing things can be sometimes, and so we ask for a shared commitment to justice, to mercy, and help us each one to walk humbly with you. Lord, we pray for clarity for all the agencies and programs and ministries of our church, not only here in the U.S., but around the world. God, be with us as a church and a denomination as we continue each day to share your love and grace with everyone we come in contact with. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us as his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time I'm going to invite our children to come down front for a few minutes with Miss Rhonda.
Okay, I had a nice stool set aside that I was going to use this morning. Thank you, Pastor Brian. How's everybody doing? Hey, everybody looks sharp. Everybody had a good week? All right, thank you. All right. Oh, man. Look at all these. Oh, y'all got the denim memo today. Thank you. All right, let me move so I don't have my back to you guys. All right, well, good morning. I'm so glad you're here. I brought a different bag today. Do you remember what we talked about the last time, maybe last month or a few weeks ago? What did I talk to you about? Does anybody remember? Smiley faces. Okay, I'm not going to talk to you about smiley faces today, but I just wanted you to remember, still remember what we talked about. I have something different to talk to you about today, and I hope it kind of goes along with what Pastor Brian's going to talk to you about. Have you ever heard of a term called God winks? Anybody out here heard of God winks? If you know me, you've heard that term because I use that term. The first time I ever heard that, a friend of mine named Dave Long used that term to describe, something that basically was random or what we call a coincidence, maybe, something that would happen and he might see it or hear it, or it was something that would make him remember that God was close by, would remind him that God was thinking about him and was close to him. And then there's a book called When God Winks at You by Squire Rusnell. Rushnell. And he says God winks are messages of hope that help us to know that no matter what is happening or how scary things may seem at the moment, God is with us to get us through it, right? Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you've experienced something like a God wink. For a God wink, for me, a heart, something that's shaped in a heart, reminds me of God's love and God's goodness. And I brought some hearts to share with you today and tell you just a little story, maybe not a whole story about every single one of them. But also, when Tally comes to read the scripture, listen to all of it, but towards the end, pay extra attention to verses 29 through 32 when the disciples asked Jesus to stay with us. Okay? That's one of my favorite parts of that scripture. And then listen for the word hearts. And this week, look for hearts or anything that reminds you of how much God loves you, okay? So let me show you some hearts. All right. I brought a box today. I have lots of boxes. Mr. Jim will tell you that, boxes and bags. Thanks. Okay. All right, I'm going to share you some that mean a lot to me, but I didn't find them on the road or anything. I found this one in a store in Asheville, and I just had to have it because it was a heart. And me and Mr. Jim were on our 40th anniversary trip to Asheville, and it reminded me of God's love in our marriage. And then this is one that I also bought. And it says, "You are my sunshine." And that also reminds me of love in my life, love that my dad had for me, my mom and dad, and a song that my dad used to sing to me when I was a little girl. And then this one, we have quilters here. This was made out of my grandmother's quilt. I had a bunch of pillows made out of her quilt, and then these were just little scraps that a friend of mine made a bunch of these. And so this reminds me of love of family and friends, and also God's love, and how God's love is shown through family and friends. And then this is just a rock that I saw when I was walking one time. I like to walk, and I think it was just on the side of the road, and I know that because it's made of concrete and rocks, other rocks. This one's from the beach. I don't remember which beach trip, but does that look like a heart? Anybody? No? Okay. You sound like Mr. Jim. Okay. Does that look like a heart? Maybe. Thank you, buddy. All right. Here's another one from the beach. That one's got a piece missing, so you have to really use your imagination. Our imagination is a reminder of God's love as well. So, and I have an imagination. And then this one I found in the driveway of Mr. Jim's parents, my mother and father-in-law, who live next to us. And it's just a driveway rock. But to me that morning it looked like a heart. Maybe a heart. Okay, and then I have a little tiny-wincy one. Is that a word, tiny-wincy? Okay, can you see that one? I found this one on the beach in El Salvador when I went to visit our son and daughter-in-law who live there and teach there. And it's tiny, and it was laying right at my feet when we got to that beach. And I'll start to cry if I tell you about that heart, so I'm not going to do that. But what I want you to do this week is really look for signs of God's love. Sometimes it may be, are we going to the beach? You went to the beach. I can't wait to go to the beach this year. This is a good time of year to go to the beach because it's not too hot. Well, right now it probably is with the weather. All right, well, I love y'all, and I'm glad you're here, and I've got a prayer, and then you can go back to your seats. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for staying with us and helping us to know your great love and goodness all around us. Bless these children here and bless children all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
The scripture from Luke 24, verse 13 through 35. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you all talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor from Jerusalem who was unaware of these things that have been taking place over there the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all of the people of the prophet. But our chief priest and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago, but there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb earlier this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told him he's alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as they didn't see him." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dual minds keep you from believing all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself and all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through the prophets. When they came to he acted as if he was going ahead. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and he explained the scriptures to us?" And he got upright then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Simon." Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus was made known to them as he broke the bread. The word of God for the people.
Thanks be to God.
I'm not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at his right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take him at his word and do. Christ died to save me. And in my heart I find a name of him to be my Savior, that he would leave his place on high and for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God, he's always with me. My Savior loves.
solace from the spring. That he who lives to be my king once died to be my savior. That he would leave his place on high and for sinful men to die. You count it strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior lives, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior loves, my Savior lives.
Let's pray together. God, open our hearts and our minds by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that as your word is proclaimed on this day, we would receive it with joy. Amen. So last week we started a new sermon series that's entitled The Easter Aftermath. I told you last week, an aftermath is a situation that exists as a result of an important event. And I think all that we're going to be talking about last week and moving forward the next couple of weeks is indeed an aftermath, right? The important event for us as followers of Jesus and for the early disciples as well was Easter, right? Easter was a great day. Easter, a lot of good things were happening, but for the disciples, it wasn't such a great day, right? They had seen Jesus die, and now they're looking for his body, and then some of the ladies go down, and they say, you know, he's risen, and so there are all these confusing thoughts and all these things going through their head. And I told you last week that probably, even for us, after the Lenten journey, after Easter, you kind of just kind of sit back and say, now what, right? Now what? And I kind of think that's probably what the disciples were doing. They were trying to figure it out. Now what? What do we do now? Where do we go now? Who do we follow now? Because that's what they've been doing for quite a number of years now. And so we forget sometimes that after Easter, Jesus appeared to his disciples for a span of 40 days. And those post-resurrection appearances are recorded for us in Scripture, and that's what we're spending our time on the next couple of weeks, are looking at some of those passages where Jesus, after the resurrection, came back to his disciples and was continuing to teach them and help them to learn what it meant to be a follower. So last week we looked at Thomas, and I hope you remember not to call Thomas Doubting Thomas anymore. I don't think he was doubting. I think it just was part of what he was going through. He was believing, but he just had all these emotions that kind of welled up inside of him. And maybe they came out as doubt, but I really think he was trying to figure it all out, just like we are. And today we find another one of those post-resurrection stories. The gospel lesson this morning is happening on Easter day as well, just like Thomas. The story of Thomas did, just like the story of Mary going to the tomb on Easter. It was happening on Easter day. Before anybody tells me, I realize this is the same passage we heard 2 weeks ago, right, when Christine preached. She and I talked about that. We worked it out. So I'm going to give you a different spin on it than Christine did. So it's the same passage. So hopefully it's familiar to you at this point, right? In the gospel lesson, we meet two distraught people. Two distraught people who are walking down a road from Jerusalem to a little village called Emmaus. Now, we don't know a lot about these two people. We don't have a lot of information about them. What we do know is this. One of them is named Cleopas, right? And the other one is left unnamed. And there's been debate throughout church history about who this unnamed disciple was. Some people think it might have been Nathaniel or maybe Nicodemus or Luke or James, the brother of Jesus. Some even think that it might have been Mary, the wife of Cleopas. I don't know about you, but when I get to passages that kind of leave things hanging out there, I struggle with it sometimes. I like to know a plan. I like to know exactly who I'm talking about or who I'm reading about. And so I struggle with this sometimes because this person is unnamed. But a scholar that I read over the last couple of weeks kind of helped me maybe make sense of all this. The scholar's John Gilman, and this is what he writes. He says, Luke's failure to identify Cleophas's companion by either name or gender, you ready for this, may be a strategy of inviting the reader to identify implicitly with that person, and thus to make the journey with Cleopas as a companion. Right? So maybe there's a reason we don't know the name or the gender. Maybe it's supposed to invite us into the story. And so I want you to think about that as you read this story moving forward, as we listen to it today. So we know Cleophas, we don't know the other person's name. We know that they were friends of Jesus. We know they weren't among the 12 disciples, but we know that they were part of the larger group of people that traveled around with Jesus, that were his disciples. We also know for sure that these two people, their lives had been impacted by Jesus in a profound way. And so after Jesus' death, they were devastated. They were stunned, they were dazed, they had all the same emotions that the disciples who were gathered together in the upper room had. And so they felt like, at this point, why stay in Jerusalem? Nothing for us here, so let's just go back home. And so they start walking. And as they walk, I'm sure that there were all kinds of emotions and things going through their mind. They're probably thinking, this is not fair, right? This is not fair. This is not right. It's not fair. How's it even possible that Jesus isn't with us anymore? And so what happens is as they're walking, as they're pondering, as they're questioning, as they're thinking, as they're processing, all of a sudden Jesus shows up and starts walking down the road with them, but they didn't realize that it was Jesus. Maybe the story went like this. Maybe the unnamed disciple said to Cleopas, Can you imagine that? Said, look, we travel this road all the time, and there's never anybody on this road, but look at this guy. Right? The time we really want to be by ourselves, the time we want to process all this going on, now there's this stranger, and he's walking towards us, and he's going to interrupt this time we have. I can also kind of imagine that person saying, you know what? He looks a little familiar. Looks a little familiar. Maybe we know him, right? Oh, maybe not. So they continue walking, but Jesus gets closer, and they continue to talk and carry on their conversation. And finally, Cleophas just says, you know what? Who cares? Who cares if this guy walks with us? Who cares anyway about anything? Because Jesus is gone, he's dead, and there's nothing that really matters anymore. Then Jesus said, what are you guys talking about? Can you imagine the expression on Cleophas' face? I don't know at your house if you have someone who gives you the look when you say something kind of not smart. I have two at my house. That when I say something not real smart, I get the look, right? I just kind of think Cleophas gave Jesus the look and said, about the things that happened, don't you know what's going on? What things? Jesus said. The things that happened to Jesus. And so then he starts to tell him, right? Which is interesting. Cleophas is telling Jesus what happened to Jesus. Right? But he is. And so he shares all this stuff. And then at the end of it, Jesus says how slow you are to believe. And then he begins giving like the whole story from Moses to the prophets to them. And they continue to walk and they get to their destination. They get to their house. And Jesus is just going to keep going, isn't he? They say, hey, it's time to eat. You want to eat with us? Want to have supper with us? And so they invite him in, and Jesus sits down at the table, and it's then and only then that their hearts are warmed, right? It's then and only then that they recognize who Jesus was. Then he's gone. And then they go and tell everybody what happened. It's a great story, isn't it? But have you ever thought about it that their story is your story? Their story is our story? You and I have been exactly where those two disciples are. We've had things happen in our lives. We've experienced things in our lives. We've gone through things, and we just want to get away from people and all that's going on. We need a little time by ourselves. We need a little time to be alone. And all of a sudden, some stranger comes and interrupts all that's going on in our heads and all that's going on in our hearts. And all of a sudden, this stranger's walking down our road of grief and anxiety and stress with us. And we think, please, we don't need this right now. Right? This is not what we planned. We want to be by ourselves. We want to process this thing by ourselves. Yet the stranger stays. Let me give you an example. You're in the coffee shop. Anybody go to the coffee shop or just me? Yeah, so you're in the coffee shop. You sit down. You put in your earphones because I'll tell you what that is the international sign for. Do not talk to me. If you didn't know that, now you do, right? So you put in your earphones, you open your computer, you open a book, you turn on a podcast, you turn on music, you start drinking your coffee, you're just processing stuff, right? Something's going on in your mind and in your life, and you're feeling down, you just want to be left alone, you're not looking for companionship, you're sure not looking for a conversation, but all of a sudden somebody sits next to you. Here's another thing you need to know about coffee shops. If I'm sitting in the corner, probably means I don't want to sit close to anybody. So if you see somebody in the corner, leave that seat beside them. Just leave it alone. All right? But the person sits down in that seat that you didn't really want anybody to sit beside you in. And then worse than that, now these people or this person starts talking to you. Remember, I got earphones in. I don't want to talk, but take them out and you start talking, right? And it's then at that point that the stranger almost realizes something's up and he or she can sense something's wrong and they start talking to you and they ask you how you're doing and they ask you, is anything going on? And you get into this deep conversation and you find yourself saying things and telling this person things you didn't want to tell or say to anybody and they just listen to you and then they might offer words of encouragement. They might even pray for you. But then you look around later, they're gone. Gone, right? But in the wake of the conversation, they've left you feeling like a new person. Your outlook's different. Everything's shifted. Your feelings have changed, and your hope's been restored. You can call them God moments, God winks. You can call them whatever you want to call them, but they happen, don't they? Maybe you're not at the coffee shop. Maybe you're at a ball game with your children or your grandchildren. Maybe you're sitting in the doctor's office waiting room. Maybe you're in the grocery store line, or maybe you're at Walmart, or maybe you're at the gym. You fill in the blank of the situation. The other thing is, maybe it's not even a stranger that you have this interaction with. Maybe it's a friend or a family member, a coworker, a church fellow church person, maybe it's someone that lives next door to you, and maybe your whole world's not crumbling in on you. Maybe everything's not falling apart. Maybe you're just having a bad day. You're agonizing over something. But here's what I found, and I think what the folks on the road to Emmaus found, and I bet if you think about it, was what you found, is on those days, Jesus shows up. Right? Jesus shows up. And you never know when you're going to find him, right? Never know where you're going to find him or when he's going to show up. And that, I think that's the good news of the story. It's the good news of the resurrection. Is that God does step in. Maybe not to make things as they were, but to give you everything you need to ultimately make things even better than they were. That's the good news, not just for those people traveling, those two people traveling on the road to Emmaus, but that's the good news for us today. When you least expect it, God shows up. When you need him the most, God shows up. Maybe through a stranger. Maybe through a song. Maybe through a social media post. God shows up. And so what I tell you today, what I leave you with today is two words. Be ready. Be ready. Because God's going to show up. Amen. A creed is a statement of our faith, a statement of what we believe. Let me invite you to stand as we proclaim together this morning what we believe, using the words of the Apostles' Creed that are found in your bulletin or on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Continue to worship. We remember the words of Jesus. How he said it's more blessed to give than to receive, as we now give God back his tithes and our offerings. Thank you. If you're a guest with us this morning, we are glad you're here. Our hospitality team will be at all the doors and have a gift for you just to say thank you for worshiping with us. If you'd like to know how to get plugged in to the ministries and programs of TR, UMC, see me anytime after the service or anytime for that matter, and I'll do my best to get you plugged in to all the many ministries and programs that are going on here at Traveler's Rest. As we conclude the service today, one more song.
Sing with us.
Your word is true. It never changes. It born the earth, sustains it still. Your word defends, providing refuge and strength. Your word.
So I'm going to throw you a curveball and invite you to sit back down for a second. So got some exciting things to share with you this morning. I'm going to ask Dave Koss, our building committee chairperson, to come up. But before I let him talk, come on up, Dave. So it's interesting, I think, how God prepares you throughout your life for God's work. I'll just put it that way. So throughout ministry for me, there's been a kind of a constant theme that I would have never chosen, but was chosen for me. And it started when I was in high school. I was invited to be on the building committee for the church that I grew up in. And I was like, this is kind of cool, but it's not something I want to keep doing, right? So I go to my second appointment, and the first thing they tell me is, hey, we've been saving money for 10 years. We're going to build a building, and you're the guy. Okay, so we started building the building. Fast forward to this time last year. The district superintendent called and said, hey, you're going to Traveler's Rest, and they've been planning to build or to remodel or to do something to their facility, and we want you to go there and help them do that. And I just kind of laughed. You know, I laugh at God when things like that happen. But I met Dave early on, even before I got here. He and Pastor Christine and I met, and Dave shared with me, like, the story of our building project. And it's quite a story, right? It's over a couple of years period. We've been planning and raising money and saving and praying. And we want to enhance our campus and our facilities to better serve God, the community, and our church. We want to be good stewards. And I hear there's been variations of the project, right, for several years. But here's the thing. The building committee and the trustees and the church leadership stayed the course and continued to try to figure out what would be the best way for us to use the money that the congregation has given to expand God's kingdom here at Traveler's Rest. And so what can we do to enhance our facilities and campus? And so Dave's got some exciting news to share with you. And so I'm going to let him talk, and then I might say something again.
So a few months ago, is the mic on? A few months ago, I shared with you plans to use the $1.3 million that we raised to make a number of significant upgrades to the facilities. So since that time, we've been working with our architect and construction firm in order to get a complete estimate for all of the renovations we wanted to complete. I was holding my breath, believe me. A few weeks ago, the estimate came in, and guess what? $906,000. So that's well under the $1,361,000 that's in the building fund. So more great news. Part of the project will be the construction of the long-awaited columbarium. Ain't that something? And the estimated cost of that is $55,000, and there is $91,000 in the budget for that. So we're in really good shape. Yeah. Now, there still are some additional costs that we are finalizing that still need to be added. We're looking at some new furniture. We're building new cabinets for the backpack ministry. And we are talking to a security system firm that will include swipe cards and cameras that will probably run somewhere between $60,000 and $70,000. But it's very much needed. First part of the renovations will be in the Family Life Center, remodeled entrance lobby and bathrooms, as well as new flooring and lighting in the parlor. But the gym will remain open while that renovation is taking place. And that's just the first phase. That will start as early as next week, sometime during next week, the week of April 29th. It should take about 6 to 8 weeks, which will take us to about late June. Once that part of the renovations has been completed, the renovations will start on specific areas of the rest of the campus. And this map right here shows you all of the areas on the campus that will have some renovations taking place. The main items, there will be new doors throughout. The church offices will be totally reconfigured and renovated throughout. The lobby and narthex out here will have new flooring, renovated. The bathroom will be renovated, and there will be an additional bathroom put in the other corner, and new lighting. The courtyard out here will have new windows, new concrete, and hardscape. The bell tower entrance right behind the bell tower will have new windows and new lighting. The back hallway, which is really unusable at this point, going out this way, it's behind the courtyard. That will have new windows, lighting, and air conditioning. The old family basement room, well, we will demolish the hallway wall. We'll have new flooring, new windows, lighting, and a kitchenette. And as mentioned, a new security system for keyless entry to each door along with camera security system. The second phase, which will start once the Family Life Center is complete, will take about 3 to 4 months. So if we're starting around July 1st, we're really looking at a completion date around the end of October or 1st of November. Now, when that second phase starts during the summer, there will certainly be many, many disruptions. Sunday services will be held in the gym, and the church offices will be relocated. We're now working on plans to accommodate the variety of activities that are important to the ongoing functions of our church and the congregation. So wait, you're going to hear more as that happens. This is a really exciting time. It's been a long time coming. The changes we are making will make our facilities more handicapped, accessible, more functional, and give us more opportunities for fellowship. I want to thank everyone who's been involved with the building committee and everyone who's given money to this project. Thank you very much. Let's have it.
Good job. So I don't know about you guys, but I hear that and I get excited, right? I get excited. If you want three takeaway words for what the improvements are going to be, accessibility is going to be more inviting and more functional, all right? So over the next couple of weeks, we'll be sharing stuff with you. There'll be interruptions. Well, we just spent 40 days talking about interruptions, didn't we? Interruptions equal opportunities. And so all kinds of opportunities. So bear with us. There will be some chaos, but it's exciting, exciting. How many of you have been through like a church remodel or rebuild before? Yeah, a few of you. If you haven't, hold on, because you're about to enjoy this ride that we're on. Dave's going to be out in the narthex, the lobby. I know you really couldn't see the slides up close. We'll send those out to you later this week so you can look at them at home. But also, Dave's going to be out there with questions. But just begin to pray, because you heard, right? This thing's going to start next week or at the latest the week after. Good times, right? God's doing big things. Never know when he's going to show up, right? Let me invite you to stand. So you never know when God's going to show up. We all have those God wink moments, those God moments. And it can happen from a stranger, somebody we don't know. But here's the flip side of that. Sometimes God uses each one of us to be that stranger, right? To be that welcoming and encouraging word, to offer prayer for someone. So not only do I invite you to be ready for God to move in your life, but I invite you to be ready to be God's hands and feet to the people you meet. Go now with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all now and forever. Amen.
Providing refuge and strength.